Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we meditate on our Gospel reading from Luke chapter 24. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, just as you sent your Son to live and die and rise again and then to walk with the Emmaus disciples along their path, so send him to be present among us today, to walk with us, to increase our understanding and to strengthen our faith. In his name we pray. Amen. I have here a book. It's the complete works of William Shakespeare. No, I haven't read the whole thing. In fact, I haven't read much of it at all, but in these last couple of weeks, my wife Megan and I have began an online study of one of Shakespeare's most famous plays, a tragedy called Hamlet. I'll read you a line or two. Good Hamlet, cast thy knighted colour off, and let thine eye look like a friend on Denmark. Hamlet's mother's plea that he would stop mourning for his father's death and befriend the new king. Or this even more famous one, to be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles. Hamlet's pondering about whether or not he should avenge his father's death. You know, I've tried to read Shakespeare quite a number of times throughout my life and often struggled and often found it something of a closed book, hard to understand. In year 9, I remember we looked at Macbeth and I didn't have a clue what was going on. A little later in year 12, we looked at Richard III and I understood a little bit of what was going on. The movie certainly helped. Then more recently, starting to look at Hamlet, I'm understanding just enough to get by. The conversation with Megan and the online lectures are making a big difference. On Easter Sunday, these two men were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus discussing recent events. They'd been to Jerusalem for the Passover, but this was a Passover unlike any other. A tragedy had taken place, the death of a king, no less. And they found the whole series of events strange and perplexing and hard to understand, and it didn't make much sense to them. It was like a closed book. All of a sudden, they were joined on the road by a stranger. And that stranger was unrecognizable to them to begin with. In fact, it says literally that their eyes were held back from seeing him, from recognizing him. The first thing the stranger does is to open up a conversation with them when he says quite simply, "What are you discussing together as you walk along the road?" They stop dead, faces downcast. As sad and then a little shocked, they say, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know what has happened there in these days? Didn't you see? Haven't you heard? Have you been living under a stone?" No, actually behind one. But these two pilgrims cannot get their head around first the events of those days and secondly how anyone can not know about the events of those days. Like you can imagine asking someone at the moment, you know, "How are you coping with the restrictions from the pandemic?" And they turn to you and say, "What pandemic?" But this is what Jesus says to them. What things? Now, it's not that Jesus doesn't know about these things, but that Jesus wants to know what they know about these things, what they think about them. He wants to enter their conversation, enter their world, enter their sadness, because he has the goal of leading them, guiding them step by step from confusion to clarity, from rumours to reality, from grief to joy, from death to life. This is the path Jesus wants to take them on. You know, the way Jesus approaches them is not only a great model for us in how we can come alongside and talk to and care for one another, but is also a great reminder of God's gracious presence with us. He enters our world, our lives, our conversations. He enters our struggles. He walks with us. He talks with us. He grieves with us. He rejoices with us. Jesus' simple and searching question breaks open the conversation with these men, and away they go. What things? He asks. The things about Jesus of Nazareth, they reply. The prophet, great in word and deed, but handed over and put to death and crucified, and we had hoped. And another wave of sadness comes over them. We had hoped he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. At the heart of their grief is this apparently unmet expectation about who Jesus was going to be, supposed to be, and what he was going to do for them. You know, their understanding is not wrong, it's just incomplete. It's not quite there. They've understood some of the scenes, but they haven't quite got how the scenes hang together, the plot line. They've understood some of the main themes and that redemption is one of them, but they're yet to grasp the height and breadth and depth and the means by which that redemption would come. Their understanding is not yet complete. They go on to report about the empty tomb and the vision of angels and the women's message. But at this stage, it all just adds to their confusion. They can't get their heads around it. Jesus responds, "How foolish you are, how slow to believe all that the prophet said. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Jesus lays it out for them. He puts it in words they can understand. He brings the puzzle pieces together and shows how it forms a beautiful picture of himself. The crucified and risen Lord, the stranger on the road, is our key to understanding all of Scripture, and we could add our key to understanding all of life. He's the main character, and in him all the scenes hang together. He's there on every page, friend. He's the seed of the woman. He's the offspring of Abraham who will bring blessing to the nations. He's the son of David who will sit on the throne forever. He's the wisdom of Solomon. He's the suffering servant of Isaiah. He's the once and for all sacrifice for sins. He's the new temple of God, the place of God's presence. He's the grace and truth of God revealed to us. He is there on every page of Scripture, and until we see how it all converges in him, we don't really see it. Friends, he is the fulfillment of God's word for us and for our salvation. Pastor Tim Keller uses the example of the movie The Sixth Sense, which some of you would have seen. And he says how the first time you watch this movie, you don't really get it. It's a bit strange and perplexing, doesn't quite make sense until the end. And at the end, you realize, and I don't want to spoil it for you, but basically Bruce Willis was dead the whole time. And once you see the movie again, through that lens, it all makes sense. And you see the whole thing differently, every scene differently, because now you get it and it changes everything. The study we're doing of Hamlet is looking at the events through the eyes of the ghost, Hamlet's father. And that's the perspective. And for us as Christians, and for the Christian scriptures and the Christian life, Jesus Christ, not dead but alive, is our key to understanding the whole thing. He still meets us, he still greets us, he still speaks to us. And what we learn on the road to Emmaus is that he's very much alive and he wants nothing more to walk with us and talk with us and care for us and commune with us. He is our living Lord. Our hero is not dead. Our hopes are not dashed because Jesus decided 'tis nobler to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune to save us from the sea of troubles that we call sin. The three of them come to the end of the road to their destination. They come to Emmaus. Jesus starts to walk on, but they urge him strongly, it says, to come in, to stay with them, to abide a little longer. They later recall how their hearts had been burning within them as he spoke to them on the road. And so he enters and he breaks bread and he distributes it after giving thanks, and their eyes are open. They see, they recognize, they get it. The student has become the teacher, the stranger, the friend, and the guest, the host, as they sit down and enjoy a time of fellowship together. You know, a lot of ink has been spilled in the debate over what's happening here at the end of this story. Is this the Lord's Supper, or is this just an ordinary meal? One thing we can be sure of is that there's no such thing as an ordinary meal in the presence of Jesus Christ. For at that moment of breaking bread, that moment of meal table fellowship, they get it. Their eyes are opened. They recognize him, and he disappears from their sight. For they've arrived at the destination of faith and fellowship with the risen Lord Jesus, the culmination of all our Christian wanderings and ponderings, the culmination of the Christian life and the Christian hope, being together with the risen Lord, our redemptive one. Friends, I know that many of you are looking forward to the time when we can come together again and celebrate the Lord's Supper. I know that I am. But right now, we're kind of on the road to Emmaus, walking, talking with Jesus, hearing, reading his word, praying together, and looking forward to the time when we will eat together once more. And so we walk on, one foot in front of the other, eyes open, heads held high, knowing there is much to be gained along the way as we walk it together with our risen Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, continue to send your Son and your Spirit to walk with us in these days, to bless us, to open the Scriptures to us, to remind us that you have redeemed us through his life, death, and resurrection. In his name we pray these things. Amen.